Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
But anyway, yeah, congrats. Another, we love a black-owned Chick-fil-A, woman-owned Chick-fil-A, yeah. Memphis, Tennessee. Best of luck. Next time I'm in the area, I'll definitely stop by.
She won't need it.
She won't need it. She won't need it.
That's the point here.
But I'm doing it.
To her.
I'm doing it out of love.
Yeah, no, you should pay. You should go there and
yes.
buy something.
Yes, absolutely right. Anyway, good stuff there. Coming to Memphis. We love it. We'll come back. Part of the pod is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball, get his thoughts on the roster, Penny's comments, lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John are trying to FM ESPN. Sonic, 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 Sonic. I'm like K-Dot, man. Bro, you know what you be doing over there, man. You be getting me in these modes with these songs, bro. Sonic is America's drive-in. It's the weekend, and it's a great way to start your weekend. Getting over to Sonic, America's drive-in. Download the Sonic mobile app. Make sure you get the best deals. You can buy one double Sonic Smash or get one free so you can share it or you can eat both. I don't care. All right, it ain't me. It's you. But you should share it. That'd be my guess. And let everybody enjoy it. Sonic is the best America's drive-in.
You deserve a fancy coffee for less than $7. And that's typically what most of these fancy coffees cost these days. Y'all know the places. Not at Sonic. You can get a $2.99 salty caramel toffee iced coffee with cold foam, salted caramel drizzle, and crunchy toffee pieces. Perfect for that Saturday morning. Frankly, it's perfect for a Friday afternoon if you like your fancy coffee. And as John continues to remind, and I would remind you too, make sure you download the Sonic app. You are not getting the full Sonic experience, all of their deals, if you do not do it through the app. And you can get that free Sonic Smasher with the purchase of your first one through it. Sonic's got all the options, all the good stuff. Live free, eat Sonic.
All right, so we got some news. It is official that Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin are out for the Washington Commanders against the Atlanta Falcons. And this is the second straight game for Jaden. This is the first game for Terry McLaurin. Although it does sound, it sounds a little more serious for Terry than it does Jaden. I mean, I think they're playing the long game, obviously, with Jaden Daniels, and they should because he's the piece. But Terry, it sounds like he's going to be getting some second opinions about, I think it's like a quad or something like that. Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, you know, you win against the Raiders, you probably feel like, all right, see, we can get out old Marcus. It's another former team for him with the Falcons.
How about that?
So maybe he'll have, I mean, he's played for a lot of teams, bro. That's what happens.
I guess it's true.
You know, you're journeyman. You're going to eventually, you know.
Don't talk bad about this dude. He beat y'all last week.
No, he did. He did. He beat us good. And I was, you know, a beneficiary of that.
And you had been talking bad about him before the game.
Yeah.
Last, you know, with Bennett and them.
No, I was. Look, Marcus Mariota is a guy that he does enough. He doesn't turn the ball over, although he did against the Raiders. He had a fumble. He thought he was back at Oregon. You know, he was getting a little too out of control. But he's not gonna, you know, he's not gonna make bad decisions. He's a good leader, like all those things, right? Like so, as backups go, pretty serviceable, you know. And I think that's Washington's like whole idea here is like, listen, we'll this is a Falcons team that just fired their passing game coordinator. Penix looks bad. We can probably get away with one more week.
Exactly.
Now I'm not sure if they will, but that seems to be the logic. So
didn't I just watch? Was it Carolina that handled?
Yes.
Atlanta?
Yeah, and that's part of like the they're going to be desperate. They're going to be pretty desperate.
Mariota, that start against the Raiders was his third for Jaden Daniels since the start of last year. He's 48 of 62, 573 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks. Has the fumble, though, as you say, but no picks. I mean, he's only missed 14 passes.
Yeah.
This guy's been fantastic in replacement of Jaden Daniels, and with Atlanta up, I think you'll be fine. Issue for them is that Quinn also said that John Bates, their top blocking tight end, and Noah Brown, receiver, also won't play Sunday. So they're going to be plenty shorthanded. And Ja'Cory just got back. That Kroski Merritt guy just got back to practice.
Bill.
He's banged up. What's up?
Bill.
Bill?
Bill.
What's
his
call
name?
Him?
Bill Kroski Merritt.
Okay.
Now, I don't know why he wants to be called Bill, but that is what he wants to be called.
That's too close. I just wouldn't. Yeah. That's Bill Kroski Merritt.
You're too close to Bill Cosby?
Kind of. I mean, kind of.
Is that what you
think?
That
was my immediate take.
We know. You love Bill Cosby, man. You think we should immortalize him with a statue outside of 92.9.
No, I'm literally saying don't make your name sound more like Bill Cosby in this case. Just stick with good old Kroski Merritt or Ja'Cory.
Yeah, I don't know where he
gets Bill Kroski.
I don't know where he gets the Bill thing from, bro. It's even on his Wikipedia page. Ja'Cory Bill Kroski Merritt. I don't get it. I don't understand. Former Alabama State Hornet, by the way.
Yeah, he just got back to practice after missing it Wednesday and Thursday, so
yeah,
perhaps he'll be ready to go.
Washington doesn't sort of, I mean, you know, wasn't it Adam that told us last year they had like the luckiest fourth down conversion rate in the NFL, in the history of the NFL or something like
sounds,
that?
Sounds accurate.
Yeah, and they wrote that all the way to the NFC Championship game. It doesn't feel like that's in the cards this year. You know, that's the thing about the NFL is like anything can happen in one season. You know, like anything, like the Washington Commanders being an NFC Championship team, like that can happen in a season. But eventually the variance will flip back. And whether it's injuries, whether it's fourth down conversion percentage, like any of those things, like it always comes back to what you actually are over the course of time. And I think Washington is like a solid team, but I don't know if I would say they're like a contender. You know, I've never quite believed them as that.
I don't think they're ready to take that step, and they won't be if you're going to have McLaurin gone for an extended amount of time. Part of that luck and success last year was having Terry McLaurin. He's so important to what Jaden Daniels is trying to do. Sure, you can have Marcus Mariota come in and spell him for a couple of games and be solid for you. He has done that. But if you're not going to have McLaurin for an extended amount of time, you know, you're starting to lose some bodies here. That's the game. Remember, you've already lost Eckler for the season.
Yep.
You traded out Robinson.
Yep.
So you're thinner than you thought you would be already. You've got a fullback that's out. You know, you can't cut much more meat off that bone and still expect to, stay in contention. That said, no, I agree with you. They're even if at full health, I'm not sure that they are a true contender.
Yeah. And so they're gonna have to navigate that. I don't think it will be simple to do. You know, hopefully it's not something that lingers for Jaden. They'll have to figure it out about Terry. But
I'd say it's very possible that the 49ers and Rams sort of come up and replace what Washington did last year in terms of making the championship game. Right?
Yeah.
49ers getting by on injury right now. When they get healthy, what's Ayuk? Like week 8?
Yeah,
like
they say he's not even close.
I don't know, not close. Maybe you don't need Ayuk. I mean, they don't need George Kittle out there right now. They're finding ways to win. My point is, They're keeping their head more than above water right now, and when they get guys back, that's going to be a team that could come together. Rams, I don't care about the loss to Philly. I think they're legit. Those are going to be the teams that are probably replacing Washington as the quote-unquote contender, but I'm not going to count out Jaden Daniels if he can get back quickly enough, but he needs McLaurin.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of teams, right? You got Green Bay. That you have to put in that category.
Absolutely. Detroit is now back in that
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's actually a pretty crowded picture.
Philly's
in the
at
NFC.
The top.
I guess it's pretty crowded in the AFC, too, because it's like, okay, like Bills were probably going to leave a spot for, but we know what happens with them in the postseason. Like, every time they do this, you know, they look good in the regular season, they've won regular season games against the Chiefs.
But they will go into the postseason, like you say, as a contender, thought of as a contender.
So then who is it? Who's their partner? Is it the Chargers? Is it the Chiefs?
The Chargers would
is
be the Ravens? On the rise.
I mean, I think the Chargers are so real, you know, just because, like, I don't know what the flaw is with them. Like, I mean, I guess you could say the receiving game is not great. But that hasn't mattered through 3 weeks. I mean, Justin Herbert's got 860 yards, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick.
And Keenan Allen shows you still got some,
and that's right.
Some gas in the
Have
tank.
You seen his shoulders, by the way?
No.
Bro, he's got some disgusting shoulders.
Well, I don't care about that.
Well, I'm saying like
what's wrong with him?
He didn't get the AC joints repaired.
So he's just
and
out
so
there.
He's got like fat lumps on his shoulder. It's crazy. Yeah, you should look it up. If you're not squeamish, but it's an AC sprain and he hasn't got it fixed. And it's like, it's disturbing.
Dude is a warrior.
He also randomly loves basketball.
Keenan Allen?
Yes, bro. He texts Jeff Goodman all the time.
That is random.
I'm not trying to put him on blast, but when they played a primetime game like 2 weeks ago, right? Who was it?
Yeah, was it Thursday or something?
It was something.
No, maybe it was a doubleheader Monday.
It was the Raiders. Yeah. It was the 15th. Mm-hmm. And Keenan Allen texted Goodman an hour before the game about something. Not even joking.
It's random because how would they have connected?
I don't know. I don't really know. I think he might have like an AAU team or like is involved in an AAU team in some way, but he loves basketball. And I remember Mike telling me once upon a time that he and Keenan Allen will talk all the time. You know, Keenan was, he's just a basketball guy. Which I kind of I respect the NFL guys that truly love the game.
Probably played it for a while.
Yeah,
mostly, yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Keenan Allen has been a freaking revelation in 2025.
Yeah.
That at 33 he could still be that target for like it's 2021 again.
Man, I won't tell you he had 7 touchdowns the Bears last year, somewhere around there.
Yeah,
I mean again he's lost a step, but he is still a great route runner.
Yeah,
uses all that veteran experience to get open.
No, you're right. I mean he's not gonna be that guy, right?
Oh, but he's perfect for a guy like Justin Herbert.
Exactly. It's like what DeAndre Hopkins is. It's like you just kind of make a clutch catch.
Because he's found every soft spot in every zone. They've yes. seen it all, so they know how to get open. They're never lose their composure despite what a defense is trying to do to them.
Yes.
Those are the kind of guys that can still help you. And clearly, that was a group to bring him back was yeah. a smart move for the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Chiefs, you have to say, will probably figure it out. It's just win.
I feel better about the Ravens than I do the Chiefs. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean,
I could be wrong on that.
I mean, that's a great NFL slate too. While we're sitting here talking about how great college football is, I mean, and it is. But I mean, you've got Ravens, Chiefs, you've got Bears, Raiders. I mean, who couldn't love?
We can't keep putting that in there. We were joking the first time. Go ahead, because I didn't think it was this great a week in NFL.
Eagles, Bucks, 3-0 teams.
That's a good one because Hurts struggles against the Bucks too. That is a good one.
Colts, Rams, 3-0 versus 2-1.
Slick, good one.
I mean, it falls off after that. But let's not act like we won't watch Packers Cowboys on Sunday night.
Oh, I'm gonna watch it.
We'll watch it. I mean, it loses luster because CeeDee Lamb's out. But
you know, the guy on the other side of Parsons is leading the league in sacks. Is it Gary?
Really?
Yeah.
Rashawn Gary?
That's why they're going to bet one of the best defenses in the league.
Well, that's what he does, right? That's what Micah does. He just creates opportunities.
You've made more of a beast of your other players, particularly Gary, because of the, like you said, the attention he draws mm-hmm. that Micah draws.
Yeah. So, anyway, it should be a great weekend of football, man. This is you know, the kind of weekend that you just have to really savor, you know, as a sports fan.
Definitely the college football portion.
Because you have the college football slate. You have the who could not love the Ryder Cup. It is the preeminent golfing outing of the decade.
Yeah, 3-1 we're down.
We're down 3-1?
Yeah, that's what
I remember when LeBron was down 3-1. What happened? He turned up.
Draymond messed up.
He turned up, man. Trump came out there, kicked somebody in the nuts. Trump got to come out there and kick Rory in the balls or something, man. Let's do it.
We have to have more pride.
Yeah, golf is just not what we do, right? We're a basketball city.
Scheffler's pretty good at it.
Yeah, we got Scheffler. You're right. I mean, we should be performing better than this.
Yeah.
This is embarrassing on an international level.
We expected better than this from this group.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I'm disappointed.
Don't run it up because, you know, our administration might push that button on y'all. All right? We'll leave NATO. Don't play. Do not run it up on us. All right, it's a new era around here. All right, I don't want to hear y'all running up on America. I don't want to hear about we got Russian drones in our backyard. Yep, you should have thought about that before you ran it up on us and embarrassed us in front of everybody. Okay, so keep that in mind. That's why the president showed up. It was just a show of force, a show of strength. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm watching. All right, we'll come back. Part of the podcast is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Memphis basketball and more. Stick around. Jason and John on Eastern FM, ESPN. Welcome back, J&J. Every single Friday at this time, the one and only Part of the podcast is nice enough to join us, covers Memphis basketball for the Daily Memphian, and he's about to be a very busy man. He joins us now. What's going on, Parth?
What's up, man? How do you not hear that and get fired up, man? North Carolina, raise up.
I'm not from North Carolina. You know what I'm saying?
Man.
That's how.
This is one of the best energy songs it would of be all like, time, I think.
It would be like me playing, you know, Space Age Pippin for you, and I'd be like, how do you not get fired up about Space Age Pippin, man?
Fair.
And you're like, well, I mean, I'm not from Memphis. I'm not an 8-ball in MJG.
Valid.
Although, I mean, I do remember when this was. I mean, this is a nice beat.
It still hits.
You know.
It hits.
Going to the skating rink, you know what I mean? But now Petey Pablo is performing at SeaWorld.
Was it SeaWorld?
I think that was SeaWorld,
I knew it was some amusement park.
Yeah, I think it was SeaWorld.
Oh, my gosh.
Would you go to SeaWorld to see Petey Pablo?
Probably not.
Okay. If Doug McDaniel were there, though, would you go?
Anybody associated with Memphis basketball there, I'm there. I will be at SeaWorld, any amusement park, carnival, whatever.
Okay. Well, you were at Penny Hardaway's event last night.
That's right.
What's the event?
It was the cocktail reception, early registration for his Penny Hardaway Memphis District Golf Classic, which is going to be Saturday.
And is that for like young golfers?
It's for young golfers, and it raises scholarship money.
It's awesome.
So every year they give out, I think it's 2 scholarships, and they
love it.
I did that yesterday.
I got to get my status up because I was not invited. You know,
we're not a young golfer.
Maybe could have made a donation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I just think, y'all, you got to work on that. You got to work on your social.
All of us do.
I don't know if it's just young golf. I'm not sure who's.
Okay, you don't
I
know
should
who's
probably
playing
know who's playing, but I don't. Okay.
So it could be anybody. I mean, if they're handing out scholarships, it's got to be.
I think the purpose of it
young
is to raise money for
students. That's awesome.
Students.
What Penny's
yes.
doing.
Yeah. No, I mean, it is awesome. And he spoke last night at the event and, posed with those students with their checks and everything. It was a cool moment.
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm all about it. Yeah, and, I was very, my antenna went up when I saw your video, your tweet from, uh-huh. The event where he said this was the second best roster he's ever had. Did you perk up when you heard him say
that? That was pretty much the first thing he said. He talked about Tariq Ingram, and then somebody asked about the roster, and like you heard it, like you see it, unprompted. He just said it's, talent wise, 1 through 15, it's the second most talented roster he had, and he puts it only behind the 21-22 team, which had, Monty Bates, Jalen Duren, Lester Quinones, a young DeAndre Williams.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I mean,
it's very, very, very high praise for a roster that's
his whole
really
thing.
Gone
his whole
radar.
Thing was top to bottom, right?
Yeah, he emphasized top to bottom. He said not, because I followed up and I'm like, wait, even more talented than last year when you had, P.J. Haggerty, Tyrese Hunter, or the year before, it didn't go well the year before 2 years ago, but you still had the guys, right? Javon Quinterly, David Jones, mm-hmm. Naquan Tomlin. And he said, not in terms of the top three, those don't necessarily compare with the top three of this roster, but 1 through 15, in terms of capable players, he said, this is... the most depth and the most options he's had in terms of lineup versatility and everything else.
Yeah.
How in terms of what he said about Tariq Ingram, the latest addition, I guess the last addition, I guess it's official since the last time I talked to you, Vieira Tuck is out.
Yep.
Tariq Ingram is in. What's Penny think he's going to bring to the table?
Man, he spoke glowingly about Tariq. He said, this is huge. I'm just reading the quote here. He said, you don't get this lucky this late in the game, which is absolutely true. And he said, even though this is a guy who, kind of was playing the waiting game with NCAA, he's gotten in, and although, Penny is very direct, right? So he said, although he's not in shape right now, he is holding his own on the court and looks like he's been playing, right? He's not rusty. He's not behind, even though he wasn't a part of summer workouts. And it sounds like this guy's going to be a key piece, which I thought that before, but hearing Penny's comments, it kind of, reemphasizes how important this get was in September.
Feels big.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it does. It really does. I mean, I don't even know, what.
What's the chance he's starting center?
Not that's what I was going to say, but it feels pretty good.
I think he'll compete for a starting spot. Yes. If I'm predicting the starting lineup today, I think I have.
I figured
at 5.
You two were on the same page to talk through this at some point.
Yeah. Just because, it's not even about. And when Penny says, how big the addition is or how important it is, people think of, stats, right? But even if this guy comes in and puts up 4 points and 4 rebounds, it's not about his production alone. It's about what it can do for the entire lineup, right? It makes Aaron Bradshaw fall into his natural position as a finesse big, as a perimeter-oriented 4, rather than playing out of position at 5. And then you've got your wings actually playing the wing and not having to play small ball 4 for most of games, right? So it just makes everything else fall into place so neatly.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, exactly. And so with that being the case, I mean, it didn't seem to really move the odds in terms of the American.
Or the advanced analytics, right? Like they're at 69 in Bartorvik,
Oh, it's up to 69.
It's up to 69.
Nice.
As of last night,
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice number.
Nice number.
Fun number.
Fun number indeed, yeah.
I'm hoping that this season will be as fun as that number can be. I mean, it's that's what I would like, you know? But do you think that if Memphis is priced sort of as the second best team in America, in the American, do you think that's a misprice? Like, should they be priced as the favorite? Should they be priced as the best?
I think so, because even though, and I know Penny's extremely high on the roster, but even though, you know, we can all look at the roster and say it's not the same as it was even when you had Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams, right, like 3 years ago, let alone when he's had some of these lottery pick type talents, it still, on paper to me, looks significantly better than any team in the American, right? Like, who does South Florida have that is moving the needle so much that, you know, the Bulls have become the favorite? I don't know what's that based upon. I have no idea.
I guess it's good. The only thing I can think that it's based on is that he beat him last year. That's the only, like, literally, and he's got a lot of the pieces from that roster that are that went with him. And they did win in Memphis, so.
But it was an upset. It wasn't expected.
But they did.
If those two teams played 10 times, Memphis would last year's Memphis team would win what, 8 of 10?
I would hope 9 of 10.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So even
they did
so.
Lose handily though.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it was fluky. They beat him by 13, right?
Yeah. Like, and the difference was the threes. We talked about it earlier this week. It was like they had 12 threes. Memphis had 7.
Yep.
They didn't shoot the ball. They just shot a lot of them.
They were chucking.
I mean, and I think Memphis was a little, I think they were ill-prepared for that.
Coming back from Maui.
Yeah.
A little Maui hangover, whatever
that's
you
right.
want to call it. Yeah,
that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. So, I haven't bet anything like that. I haven't touched it, but because, again, you know, integrity, right? That's the thing
that's right.
I try to maintain here. Because I want to be able to talk about the team and the program without there being any kind of financial conflict of interest. You know what I'm saying? But I would probably bet Memphis, you know, plus 290, plus 300, or whatever, 215, I think is actually what it is. Because I don't know. I think there's a lot of talent on this team that's going to take jumps, and maybe that's the market's underrating that a little bit. Like, these SEC transfers are going to come here, Curtis Givens, Zach Davis, et cetera. They're going to come here, and they're going to ball out. That's just what I think.
Yeah, and even if they don't take – even if everybody doesn't hit, right? Because we talked about so many ifs on this roster between Aaron Bradshaw, between Sincere Parker, Zach Davis. It's a lot to ask for all these guys to be the best versions of themselves at the same time, right?
Absolutely.
So even if that doesn't happen, like, I think just what you have now is better than the South Florida roster, I think.
Yep. I heard the names in the audio that you were able to provide, but clear it up for me. Doug McDaniel and Zach Davis were singled out by him. What was the question? Or was it just those were the standouts? What did he say about those guys?
Yeah, I just asked him, you know, we talked about with 15 guys, like kind of some of the challenges that come with that in terms of role allocation and minutes and, you know, feeding that many mouths. Like he's had 15 guys on a roster before, but the scholarship limit used to be 13. So you've got really 13 guys that expect to play and a couple walk-ons that are there for, you know, practice purposes really. But now you've got 15 scholarship guys, you know, everybody wants to play. How do you deal with that? And that was my kind of first question. And he talked about kind of bringing these guys in that know who they are, right, is what he said. He said the guys who are scorers know their scorers. The guys who are hustle guys know their hustle guys, rebounders, shot blockers. Like, everybody seems to know their role and is committed to playing the role that's going to help uplift the team. So then I asked him, like, who's, you know, it's been an entire summer, seasons around the corner, like, who stood out in terms of both guys you might be going through offensively on the court and in terms of off-the-court leadership, locker room stuff. And he mentioned Doug McDaniel and Zach Davis as the two guys there that stood out to him, that have stood out to him.
Yeah, I like it. I mean, those are your leaders right there.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to
me. Yeah.
Zach Davis is going to be extremely important is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
He's going to play multiple roles, too, it feels like. I know you just said how defined they are, but whether it's rebounding or – and when we had him on, isn't he a guy that considered himself a guard?
Yes.
He's listed as a guard. He's obviously more of a wing, I think. But
right, me too.
You know, 6'8", can guard probably 1 through 5, really.
SEC, because he's SEC strong.
SEC right, strong. At least 1 through 4 he can guard. And in the American, he's guarding all – he can
exactly.
guard all 5 positions. You know, is a guy who can facilitate. His 3-point shot he mentioned was something he was working on this summer.
And you have him right now at the 3 with Bradshaw at the 4 and – Big so th- boy at
yeah,
the
this,
5?
This,
I'm just talking about your starting
for
five.
Sure. This is what I've got. I've got Doug McDaniel at the 1, Sincere Parker at the 2, assuming that the legal stuff clears up or whatever.
Sure.
Zach Davis at the 3,
okay.
Aaron Bradshaw at the 4, and then Tariq Ingram at the 5. With Hassan Abdul-Hakim, a player that's more than capable of starting, as the sixth man. Like, that is a luxury.
How deep are we going to go, realistically?
I think we're gonna go back to Penny playing 11 guys, I think. Which could be good, could be bad, but...
When has it been good?
I'd argue it was good in 22-23 with the Kendrick Davis...
Were they that deep, or was it more like an eight-man, nine-man?
It trimmed down once we got closer to February and March. He was playing... Like, remember Jonathan Lawson, KO? KO was playing minutes?
Lawson was playing 19 minutes a game. You're right. Maybe they're a little deeper, and I give him credit.
Who else was playing off the bench? But it was KO, Jonathan Lawson.
So Keontae Kennedy.
Demarie Franklin.
Keontae, while he was available, because when he got hurt, he punched him.
I just looked up a random game, like the Seton Hall game, right? And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys. They played 10.
Yeah, that's a good call by you.
He was consistently playing 10, 11 guys. All through non-conference, and then even in early American play. So I think we're going to see a lot of that.
Yeah, because KO eventually got cut out of the rotation.
He did.
Jonathan didn't play much either.
Towards the end
of
the season.
It ended up being DeAndre Chandler, Jaden, Kendrick, Lomax, McCadden, Dandridge. I mean, it was still eight deep because you would, and then DeMaria when he eventually got here.
So it turned into a nine-man rotation.
Which was, it wasn't great, mostly because the players weren't great. Well,
he maximized that. I think that's his second best coaching job. Last year was his best coaching job, obviously, because the results speak for
themselves. I would not say he maximized his roster.
You don't think so?
No.
They were one of the hottest.
They should have been a Sweet 16 team. That would have been maximizing roster.
Fair, but the entire body of work. Like, remember going
it was a good team, but Kendrick Davis being on this team is like, and DeAndre Williams is insane.
Like, that's a nice tandem, man.
Yeah,
that's
like, nice. I mean, that's,
look at everybody else. Everybody else is like mid-major role players.
When Kendrick Davis was an All-American type guard. Like, to me, Kendrick Davis was better than P.J. Haggerty.
Yeah.
But Kendrick threw the ball away. Penny didn't.
That's true. No, I'm not blaming him.
That team was ready to
I agree.
The step.
But I'm just saying, I would not say he maximized it.
I think it was a B-plus coaching job. I don't know. Maybe.
I think it was an A team.
You think so?
With Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams, I would say it's an A team.
Two players, though.
That's a big.
Who's the third best player
five.
On that team? Who's the third best player?
I mean, I would probably say Lomax.
Okay. Yeah, defensive minded. Yeah. Yeah, that's not a bad.
I mean, I'm not saying that it was. Maybe A is a little too optimistic. Maybe it's like A minus team. But a lot of this is because I just loved Kendrick Davis. But I feel like Kendrick Davis, when you have that dude as a point guard, like everything should
be
possible,
man.
And they were a good team. Like, they won, 25 games in regular season, 26 games in regular season?
They won, yeah.
Like, they always competed. They freaking beat Houston in the AAC championship game.
They got
game.
Better and better. And they, even without Kendrick Davis at Houston, they lost by only, seven or eight, I think.
I'm not saying it was a bad coaching job. Like, don't miss
out. I think it was a great coaching job.
I just agree with Parth that about the roles, right? Because we've talked so much about Penny and defined roles. They were defined that year.
Yeah.
And that's what we're kind of talking about with this. If this many guys can be in defined roles, well, then you're fine playing multiple guys.
But you know what the difference is, right? Like, that team, because there was such a gap between your one and two and everybody else, those roles were naturally defined.
Naturally.
Like, nobody
the moment they walked through the door,
Davis.
You are so right with that.
No,
year's team,
this
you must feel
team,
like they
got
some dudes.
Dude, when you got Hassan Abdul-Hakim, and these are luxuries, by the way, Hassan Abdul-Hakim, Curtis Givens III, Julius Thedford, and Quante Berry off your bench.
See, yeah.
Like,
that's why I'm more
now,
concerned
exactly.
about him playing
that's
more
because
you got
in,
so many more.
I would say
guys.
I was
not
worried.
As natural.
I would say I was worried about that last year, and it ended up being fine.
Like, they only had 11 players last year, right?
But last year it was not obvious because you bring in Tyrese Hunter, you bring in P.J. Haggerty. I know we can say now that it was going to be P.J.'s team.
It just felt like a short
it was
rotation.
Be PJ's
yeah,
team from the
guards.
Get-go, no?
Huh?
It was going to be P.J.'s team from the – he was a 20-point-per-game scorer.
I mean, like, I guess if you want to say that, but he was coming in as a freshman. You
I know you had some doubts, right? Yeah.
Like, Kendrick was not – I mean, Kendrick was a no-questions-asked.
Proven commodity.
And
reigning AAC player of the year coming in.
And I think he came in – I don't remember exactly, but I want to say he came in – and, like, one of the first things he – because DeAndre was from Houston, and Kendrick was from Houston.
Yep, they connected off that.
And he went to DeAndre, and he's like, yo, I know this has been what you've been rocking with. I'm coming in humbly. I'm trying to just make the team better. It ain't got to be about me. Like, Kendrick just did it the whole right way, bro. Yeah.
Well, a big part of last year's chemistry was Tyrese Hunter being willing to take the step back.
No
and
doubt
acknowledging
about that.
That
no
PJ
doubt
is
about
the
that.
Way to go.
I think you're right. I think in terms of what will derail this team, it's going to be, like, all these guys think they're coming here to save their careers. Not save, but you get what I'm saying. You're dropping down a level, right?
Yeah.
And to, like, just go out and hoop. And, like, it's like everybody's on a 10-day or something. and you know,
everybody's trying to make it like a
yeah.
I don't want to. I'm not saying similar, but Last Chance U type vibes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
where everybody's trying.
No,
to
part of the
podcast
just compared Memphis basketball to Last Chance U.
I want to make that very clear.
No, you did.
For those listening,
you made it clear.
I'm not comparing the program, Memphis basketball, or the roster for that matter, to anything.
Okay.
You know, Last Chance U.
It did sound like you.
That's
what I'm
gonna like. Yeah,
I'm saying
you're like I'm not saying it like this, but it is like this.
The storylines, the narrative, where the guys are coming in, trying to, like you said, resurrect their careers.
No, I think like for you know, I mean, you know, we do have the mystery with Hassan Abdul-Hakim, whatever the hell happened to him down there, UT Rio Grande Valley. We got Sincere Parker got a court date. You know, we've got some
Aaron Bradshaw who was. You know,
I don't think he's got legal. I was talking more like the legal off the court.
I mean, I'm not trying to.
Oh, he did have a. He did.
At Ohio State.
He
yeah,
did. You're right.
He was suspended for a while.
All right,
a situation
perfect.
That occurred. Yeah.
Doug got suspended for the academics.
6 games, yep.
Yep. He missed the home games.
No, away games.
Oh, was it away games? Okay, so they let him play at home. So we do kind of have a little bit of a thing going here. We're tested.
That's right. They got good resolve, good grit.
And in Sincere's case, you know, he may be tried.
Come on.
But I'm just saying he might. He might. Why don't you get Arthur Horn on the why don't you call him?
Y'all should have him on the show.
Arthur Horn.
That would be interesting.
Well, he's busy.
He's a great talker.
He's got
as you know. He's a great quote.
We'd love to have Arthur, but we really need him to focus on getting Sincere's case settled. You know what I mean? We don't need to take away from that.
I mean, he was hosting panels. Remember he was hosting that NIL panel with Penny a few
Oh, that's right.
Back.
That's right. When Penny came on there.
A little bit of everything, man.
I'm excited, man. I do. I
wait, do you think it's the second best roster of the Penny Hardaway era? I do not think so.
I think it's a
better roster than
I don't know. I guess
national pundits and recruiting rankings are giving it credit for.
I think I would probably have it behind the 22-23 with Kendrick.
So
I would probably also have it behind last year's.
I'd have it behind last year's. I'd have it behind Imani Bates, Jalen Duren, 21-22. I'd have it behind his other number one recruiting class, who was that Precious Achiuwa, James Wiseman.
Yeah.
And behind the David Jones, Javon Quinterly, Jordan Brown. That didn't pan out, but
we got to think about the moment when it was assembled. When it was assembled.
Exactly.
How do we grade it? We grade it when it's done?
No, you grade it just based on talent.
Yeah.
Whether it works out. Even Penny said this last night.
That 23-24 team had talent like crazy. I mean, they were 10 in the country.
I think that was arguably his most talented roster.
Yeah, it's just there's such a sour taste about it.
Yeah.
I don't like to give that team anything. I don't like to give that team any flowers.
My point being, we just rattled off four rosters that you know, you and I can kind of we can all agree on that.
Yeah, no, I mean,
more talented on paper.
But I think the case I would make for Penny is that, you know, none of those rosters had, with the exception of that Imani Bates one, which is the one he talks about, none of those teams had top five player in the country, and that's what this one has.
This one. Aaron
Bradshaw.
No. What do you mean? Imani Bates.
That's what I'm saying. Taylor, with the exception of that one.
No. Precious Achiuwa and Wiseman.
They were freshmen though. They were. It was.
Oh, yeah, they were all freshmen.
Yeah, I think
that's when freshmen. That was the thing, right?
Like, and those teams were never good. Those freshman teams were never nearly as good. They come in with all the plaudits, and they would always be like 20-10, and maybe they make a tournament, maybe not. With the exception of like Duke that year. The year before.
I don't know if y'all heard the whole clip, but Penny did say that 21-22 team. He still believes. Should have made the Final Four. He said that pretty much verbatim last night.
Yeah. There were a couple of games in between that he would have had to win.
Right.
I mean, I think Sweet 16 would have been a more accurate. I'll go with him on that one. I don't think we were going through to Glendale.
Sweet
16
Elite Eight type talent.
That's Rudy Gay level, right?
That
there.
Is. They, hey, pity me on that Rudy Gay time, bro.
A little bit revisionist history, but whatever.
He does.
Just is. I love him to death.
If Tyrese Hunter had got hurt last year, man, we're going all the way. You know what
I
mean?
Sweet 16. Now I'm on that train.
Sweet 16 last year, yeah.
Thanks, Barack.
They're missing their
I don't know. They're probably not
bro.
Beating Maryland. Let's call it what it is. It's going to be.
Oh, they would have seen Maryland.
Bro, they were giant killers with Tyrese in the non-conference.
Maybe.
They
you're right. I mean, it would have been a good game. I can't say for
especially
sure.
If he plays well.
Would they have seen Maryland in the second round or Sweet 16?
Yes, they would have seen Maryland.
Oh, yeah, that might have been the end of the road.
Yeah. Well, this is the end of the road for this segment.
Yeah, see, Brad. Yeah.
Brad be.
No,
nah, he on you, bro.
Great having you, brother.
He on you. It's always good to catch up.
Appreciate
you.
Great work.
We'll be talking actual games here soon enough. So
excited, man.
I'm excited.
It's time to hoop.
Go watch some highlights of some of Penny's teams throughout the years, and enjoy your weekend.
Yes, sir. You too.
Part Through Podjai covers the Tigers for the Daily Memphian. We'll come back. Wrap us up, Jason and John. I turn to FM.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN.
LeadersCU.com/ESPN. That's Leaders Credit Union. Everybody deserves a champion. And at Leaders, they believe in that philosophy. They want to be your financial champion for life. It's a full-service financial institution, not-for-profit, member-owned. Access your money anytime, anywhere with their mobile app. They're local. They care about the community. They care about giving back to the community. And if you go to LeadersCU.com/ESPN, and join today, they will waive your membership fee of $25. And that's just one of the many ways that Leaders Credit Union is there for you. They have, again, checking accounts, savings accounts, good APY, and more. So get over to LeadersCU.com/ESPN today. I was looking for a little love, but
sorry for the quick hook. That cut just ran out on me.
I tell you what, man, it's just not, we don't live in a world of love. We don't.
Sorry, I'll restart it here to give you a little vibes. My cut ran on my computer.
LeaderCU.com/ESPN. That's where you will find the love. No question about that.
Thank you.
Big weekend in Memphis, obviously. Memphis on the road at FAU. I know that it's a little inconvenient for people because, you know, how could Georgia and Alabama have the audacity to kick off at the same time?
Mm.
Did they not know that everybody's going to be watching Memphis FAU in terms of the programming?
The pick to be the group of five
representatives. 35.1%, bro. I mean, I think it's a little stupid on their part to have tried to put that game at the same time. But we'll persevere. We'll persevere.
I'm watching you because you don't think Memphis is going to cover this weekend, right?
It's out to 14.
This is the one game where
don't know anything about FAU. And remember, I am ice cold on college football. But I would just – the spot would tell me to play the underdog at home. But, again, I hope I'm wrong.
Memphis defense.
It seems like if that offense is bad, Memphis' defense will absolutely shut them down. So yeah. They've done it before. They can do it again. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Partly Podgy for joining us on the show. Thanks to Anthony Sain as well. Jeffrey and company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.